Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday TGIF Friday Night Live Edition. Fancy Brian, I'm right here with you in the Shaw, and it is a big night because we are launching Friday Night Live right here on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101 FM. And what is Friday Night Live? Well, it's rock and roll from downtown Waukesha. The Five Points, they shut it down. And we're going to be out there. I'm going to be broadcasting live. I am your guest, inaugural host for the Friday Night Live event. And, you know, the weather is glorious here in Waukesha. I got to tell you, mid-70s, sunny.
It's practically perfect.
It is practically perfect, but I was misled. I looked up the weather report earlier today. What kind of weather are we going to have? Crudy's got a dress for the day. The weatherman said maybe upper 60s. So Crudy wore pants.
I think you'll be all right.
I'll be okay, but I wish I was not wearing pants.
Especially if any mosquitoes are out, you'll be perfect.
I don't think they have mosquitoes in Waukesha, do they?
Well, I'm assuming mosquitoes live anywhere.
Bird of the state of Wisconsin, so
mosquito. I would assume they'd infiltrate this area too.
At this time of year, no pants, my preference. Shorts, you know, I do wear shorts. Dom, shorts, no pants. It's always kind of optional. I got no socks on. I've taken my loafers off for the broadcast. You know, I feel constrained in these jeans. We're a little beyond jean season. You know, once it gets nice out, I don't want to wear pants the rest of the summer. You should wear pants, though.
Pond would be good for you. It'd be fine.
Pond would be good for you. So anyways, I got pants on. Got to find Code Devil joining me at 5 o'clock today. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel. And Jimmy, I suspect James will be wearing pants as is his custom. And I've got no shoes on, so, you know, don't sit too close to the radio. You might smell my feet. Glad you're on the other side of a piece of glass.
We'll get a mic down there and light up those feet. So get them nice and bright. Get them nice and loud.
Buddy, you know, we air grievances on Friday, and the fact that I'm talking about feet... You know, probably your grievance right about now. Evan back in the world headquarters. Where is he? Is he absent? Is the guy already taking a break?
No, he's evening. He's doing some evanescence right now.
Some evanescence. Whatever right. It is that Evan does during this radio show.
Lots of things.
Lightly screening the calls at 844-967-2789. We'll take your calls. And we'll get to the headlines. So I guess I've got to start with the grievances. I'm the only one here. Well, Fancy, you're here. You got a grievance? You want to lead?
I have several grievances, but I'm more of a grievance artist, so you just tell me what we're talking about, and I'll grieve.
Maybe we should let me cast the first grievance on behalf of Rebecca Clayfish, the Republican, and I would say presumptive Republican gubernatorial nominee. Well... She's got to be feeling a little butthurt today. The former president, Donald Trump, and you were the first one to report this to me. And I think Luke reported it to you. So.
Yeah, there was a chain.
And I told two friends. And
Johnny
so on
told
and so
us, then the righty-whities were saying it, and then it didn't happen right away, and then it happened. It finally happened.
And the what happened is a guy you probably, although you listen to this show, you're smart people, but a guy you probably... didn't hear about before you listen to the show, a guy named Tim Michaels, apparently a businessman, you know, from Wisconsin or Connecticut.
Mostly Connecticut.
Or New York City. He's got three properties, apparently. Pays income taxes in the state of Wisconsin, though.
Oh, I see parallels here.
Spends like 183 days a year here. Like, very specific. Something must be in the tax codes.
He chalks up on the side of his wall for every time he's here, just so he knows how long he can stay in Wisconsin so he can stay on the ballot. Good job.
It's either that or, you know, rampant speculation. Maybe he's got a second family. Who knows? Who knows? You know, Splinter 50-50 style. But Tim Michaels got the endorsement of Donald Trump, and it was being threatened and promised by Righty Whitey Talk Radio. And apparently they had some insight that I just don't have. I didn't know it was coming. Probably wouldn't have cared, but it is an interesting development in the race. And Rebecca's gotta be butthurt.
Well, I think it's a blessing in disguise for her because lately,
how so?
Well, at the time that she was begging for the endorsement, it would have really probably helped her. Now, after Trump's track record is pretty much, you know, basically, I'm assuming Tim Michaels is going to lose because of this endorsement. This might actually help Rebecca Clayfish kind of pull herself out of crazy town.
Tim Michaels would have lost without this endorsement. There's no doubt.
Oh, I mean, sure.
The timeline's too short, and the guy's got millions. But at the Republican Party convention in Middleton, near where I normally broadcast from, she got 55% of the delegates' votes, and Tim Michaels got like 4%. 4%! And he was nothing in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, the guy barely spends half a year here. And the last time he ran for a political office, 2004, lost to Russ Feingold, a fine progressive senator from Middleton, Wisconsin. And so anyways, guy hadn't run for anything in 18 years. Paid a lot of taxes in Wisconsin, but barely spent any time there. Not really a politically known figure in the state. And got the endorsement of Donald Trump. So she's at 55, and he's at 4%. And that's what the GOP base. So if Tim Michaels, you know, if Tim Michaels does win, it's because he was catapulted by Trump. But if he loses, well, that was the expected outcome anyways.
Uh-huh. It also is a perfect fit because they're both, you know, self-made businessmen.
You mean
Michaels? Yeah, both of them are self-made businessmen who inherited it from their fathers. They both probably hate their fathers as well, so they have a nice conversation about that. They both have triple locations where they live, including New York City. They both pay taxes in a different place than they actually do live. And, you know, they both have a lot of things in common that I think they can get along with.
Doesn't everyone hate their father? Pretty sure my kids do. Father's Day's coming up. I've always noted, not that my kids are great gift givers, not to mom and dad, but a little early Father's Day grievance this year. You could give me something, right? Something. Something more than a happy Father's Day. That's all I'm saying. Something. How about a card? I take a card.
Give me a donut.
I take a donut with a little candle on top, then it'd feel special.
You know what? Next to candle, that's fine. Give me a second donut.
So
one that looks like a candle.
So anyways, I hope Rebecca's not, you know, nursing away the pain of her butt hurt with a bunch of donuts back at the house. It's got to be, you know, a tough thing. I bet she gets up by her gumption and grabs her bootstraps and, you know, goes back out on the campaign trail. Because when you start the week up by 51, and you don't get the endorsement of the former president, that's got to sting a little. And it's got to, what, motivate you to get out there and do a little more. Try a little harder. Be better. Be best.
She could be best. I mean, it is something when you run as a strong, independent woman that hitches her coattails to Walker and Trump. You know, that's what a strong person does. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
You know, they're probably the more important political headline of the day because not everyone lives in our backyard here in the state of Wisconsin. This is not a grievance. This is more of a little gleeful celebration. Not a big one, but a little one. Peter Navarro, the financial advisor, the economic advisor to the former President Trump, got indicted today. Two misdemeanor counts, but each carries a maximum penalty of 1 year in jail. And the two counts, misdemeanor counts, no doubt,
Contempt of Congress. Contempt of Congress.
Oh, so they do have teeth.
He was indicted by the Department of Justice effectively for failing to respond to the January 6th committee hearing.
It is possible since the Clinton administration. That's amazing.
It is kind of amazing. A federal grand jury has indicted Peter Navarro, a former Trump White House advisor, on two counts of criminal contempt of Congress for defying subpoenas from the House J6 Select Committee. The two misdemeanor counts stem from his failure to comply with demands for documents and testimony in the panel's investigation. Now, Navarro was indicted on Thursday, and the indictment was unsealed on Friday. I've never been indicted. Charged, never indicted.
Haven't had the pleasure myself.
The former trade advisor made his initial court appearance. That's the booking session Friday afternoon, during which he insisted on representing himself. Boy, those Trumpsters are smart. And railed against the federal prosecutors, the FBI, and the Select Committee. Better to just remain silent and say not guilty, right? Navarro in court accused the Justice Department of prosecutorial misconduct for arresting him at an airport on his way to Nashville for a television appearance. He also, I guess you're not going to make it to Nashville today, Peter. Not too late. Yeah, maybe catch a later flight. Hope Southwest is flying. He also argued the committee's lack of authority to subpoena him. That committee is a sham committee that doesn't have the power to issue subpoenas. They basically weaponized their investigatory powers in a way that violates separation of powers. The House voted to hold Navarro in contempt in April, referred him to the Justice Department for criminal charges of the four former Trump officials to be referred by the House. Navarro is only the second to face charges. If convicted, he faces the possibility of up to a year in jail and a $100,000 fine on each count. Now, what's the George Michael for? I'm not father figure.
Oh, this is Trump being Tim Michael's father figure since, you know, taking him under his wing. You know, I'm endorsing you, that type of thing.
But Trump has two sons and he doesn't even like them.
I know. That's why Tim Michaels fits so perfectly with Donald Trump.
Come back with us. Fancy Brian. He'll be all our father figures. I'll be your role model. Devil's Advocates Friday Grievances. Light them up. 844-967-2789.
It's just me and Fancy here right now.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell you.
I'm not going to be ignored.
I am not a role model.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We made it. It's Friday. And this Friday is kind of special. I'm here in the Shaw Studios. 217 West, just Wisconsin Avenue. I guess I don't have to throw a West on there. Downtown Waukesha, baby. And they closed down the downtown here in Waukesha. Like four blocks from here is the Five Points. And the band start playing. And we're doing a very special show that we're rolling out tonight.
We're going to be live at Friday Night Live.
I know, man. And I'm not the only one that's ever going to host this show. I'm going to host this week's program. But certainly this will not be the only opportunity. So, you know, look for some of our special friends and many of the hosts. Hell, Fancy Brian, you might go out there once or twice this summer.
Yeah, there's a couple times I'll probably host, yeah.
Tomorrow morning, please make a note, especially those listening in Waukesha.
Truth.
I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go to the farmer's market. And we're going to start broadcasting from the Waukesha Farmers Market each Saturday morning. And I'll be up at 6:30 setting up tomorrow morning, Fancy Brian.
It's legal under union rules because it's technically 12 hours between being on the air and off the air.
Huh?
Well, you're done at 8 o'clock and then you're on at 8 o'clock.
Well, I won't be on at all. I'm just there for setup.
Okay. Well,
I'm just a cheap labor, man.
Great. You'll be in the other union, so it'll be covered. So you can work straight through if you need to.
Well, Don Brown, our good friend, former Waukesha Alder, Don Brown does the This Week in Waukesha show. And Don's going to start at a new time for the summer, at least. He's going to broadcast live from the farmer's market. I'll be there to keep the adoring throngs away from Don. This Week in Waukesha at 8 o'clock. And also, you know, kind of old school radio, man. We're going to give away some freaking radios, right? We're in the radio business. So come on down, and all you got to do is give me your name and a way to contact you should you be the winner. But at the end of the day, I'm going to pick a winner. I'm going to give them a free radio, and it sounds pretty good. They're cool. They got a Bluetooth and a couple other features. And
they're pretty neat. Pretty nifty. It's both neat and nifty. Pretty nifty.
Compact old school radios, and they are pretty nifty. And we're going to give one away tonight at the Friday Night Live, or at least I'll, you know, close my eyes, pick one at random. And then also tomorrow, we will give one away at the farmer's market, and we'll try to make a custom of giving away radios so you can listen to us on the radio. If you'd like to be a winner, come see me tonight at the Friday Night Live. I have no idea what this show is going to sound like, but it'll be, you know, at least close to great.
Mostly great.
Maybe not the greatest radio show ever.
You need to have room to keep getting better every single week. That's the important
thing. We'll leave just a little room for improvement, but just a skosh. A
little bit on the table.
Hey, real quick. Talking about the Peter Navarro. The sad news, the former Trumpster got indicted today. The judge gave him some good advice. You know, it's always good advice when the judge gives you advice in open court. When you're receiving advice from the judge in court, please take that advice. But at Friday's court appearance, again, of Peter Navarro, Judge Zia Faruqua expressed concern about allowing Navarro to represent himself. I think it's important that you have counsel, the judge told him. I mean, when the judge is saying, hey, buddy, I've been listening to you, why don't you get a lawyer?
Why don't you just take a little seat there, buddy? Just take a minute.
Now, Navarro said he was okay with the judge appointing counsel for today and that he sent prosecutors an email with an attorney contact as they work this out. Navarro, who has a PhD in economics, is not an attorney. So the Dr. Navarro, the PhD in economics, is representing himself. But wasn't it just yesterday or the day before that he rolled out a federal lawsuit trying to sue to block the January 6th committee from actually bringing forth the Green Bay sweep? We've talked about the Green Bay sweep. Peter Navarro is the author of the Green Bay sweep. And, you know, this guy went back on Ari Melber, I believe, last night on MSNBC. Will this man never learn his lesson?
No.
Peter Navarro literally went and effectively, confessed to plotting a coup in the United States, and he did so.
Theoretically, of course.
Not even on Fox News. He did so on MSNBC on Ari Melber. And Ari's a lawyer in his own regard. Pretty smart guy. Also, quite quick with the rap lyrics. But when the judge says, go get a lawyer, you are an economist. You are not a lawyer. Why don't you get a lawyer? I would take that advice.
You're not like Maggie Dawn, who is both an economist and a lawyer.
Now, the arraignment should be postponed for a number of reasons, Navarro added, requesting that his civil lawsuit against the House January 6th committee go forward before any criminal proceedings. Yeah, get to the civil matter before you hold me in criminal contempt, even though I was subpoenaed months ago. And I filed that lawsuit like yesterday when I heard I might get indicted.
I always felt as a defendant, it was my right to go and tell the court how they should try me.
By the way, Fancy Brand, the court handling the civil case has already dinged Navarro for procedural flaws on how he structured the lawsuit, in that he's an economist, not a lawyer. Although I hear in his spare time, he plots coups and occasionally makes media appearances on MSNBC. Let me open the, it's always an open-ended invitation here. Peter, call us, 844-967-2789. If you want to confess to a coup or tell us, you know, why your lawsuit makes any sort of sense whatsoever and why you don't need counsel. I don't think you need counsel. Peter, you're a sharp guy. I'd go it alone, man. That's the American way. Trump would be very sad if you got counsel. I think so. Do the right thing. And by the right thing, I mean do the wrong thing. Don't listen to the judge.
Otherwise, Trump might have to hire another lawyer that he wouldn't have to pay.
You know, many years ago, as a minor, I was legally a ward of the state of Wisconsin. And I would have to go appear before a judge every 6 months. And just, wasn't that I did anything terribly wrong, but what if your whole life came under scrutiny by a judge and you're staring at, my judge was Judge Maria Kruger. And until I turned 18, man, I had to do it every 6 months. And I'm not saying I was a bad kid, but, you know, I was a baddish kid trying not to get caught. And I think I kind of know how Peter Navarro felt. Only I had the good sense to let the attorney do the talking. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Jim Santella, fine attorney, will do the talking after 5.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. We air the grievances. That's the custom around here. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. The very first one today is Wisco Paul. Welcome, Wisco. What do you got for us?
Yeah, first my grievance is Gableman. It's crazy, man. It's corruption at its finest. Hey, but I got a question for you. When January 6th committee, when they come down with their findings or however they go about this, but let's say Trump and his minions are found guilty on different accounts.
Guilty.
Do you think, Crudy, that this will finally have an effect on Trump and like his endorsements and this guy, you know, running around? I don't know how he can do what he's doing right now, but do you think that will finally have an effect, or will the Trumpsters keep going on and not believe it?
That's my question. Define the power of the Trump endorsement, because of late, and I have no idea how he'll do back in Tim Michaels here in the state of Wisconsin. I think that will shake up the race here because Michaels was so far back, and to be able to run the ads with Trump, you know, giving you the stamp of approval, well, that's a way to differentiate in a primary. But, you know, down in Georgia where Trump waded in the Brian Kemp gubernatorial race, got and put all his chips on David Perdue. Well, his guy got beat by 3-1, got beat by 50 points. And if you get beat by 50 points, well, you go off and you lick your wounds, you go hide behind the woodshed. But that's not what Trump's doing. Trump is basically saying it was rigged. You know, my endorsements have power. And, you know, to see me lose 3-1, that's implausible. So now he's starting to attack the machinations of a Republican primary. And let's not forget, he's done the same thing in Pennsylvania, right? Dr. Oz is in the midst of a recount. Dr. Oz is only up on the hedge fund guy, I think McCormick is his name, only up by like 1,000 votes. And Trump said, just declare victory. Just declare you're the presumptive nominee, which is what Oz has done. So, yes, Trump is waiting in these primary races, but what I think he's doing is he's effectively wrecking the chances of these respective candidates to actually win a general election, Paul. More like that. I say more Trump, not less Trump. I lost you, Paul. Have a great weekend, man. Hope he has a spotted cow or something.
I think he will.
Paul, if I see you at the Friday Night Live, man, I'd buy you a beer.
If not, he's going to have a moon, man. One of the two.
844-967-2789. And I wonder what aspect of Gableman's got, you know, Paul's undies in a bundle. Is it the 11 grand a month? Because now he's down to 5,500. But of course, since the investigation's on pause, he's not really doing anything for the 5,500. But if you believe the judge, he never really was doing any sort of investigating for the 11,000 a month. And then, of course, you find out they're, what, $220,000 over budget and counting before the litigation hits the wall. So, you know, I'm not clear which of the many corruptions of Gableman so bother you, Paul.
It could be that his furniture is still sitting there. His furniture is just still sitting
That's
there,
the taxpayer's you know. Furniture.
Well, I mean, look, as a guy who's 300-plus pounds myself, a lot of furniture is really weighted in as 250, you know, maybe just under 300. So if it's weighted for over 300 pounds, like I'm assuming Michael Gableman would want.
You think he got the big guy furniture? Like, you got the very nice chair.
Yeah, right? I like
That's
it.
A and step-up chair.
You know, you need something a little bit more structure. And so if he might be pining for his furniture. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the issue.
That could be.
Nobody's ever thought
that
about
that. That would
the
certainly
big guys
explain
before.
the whopping blowing through the budget, because that was the only thing they acted like mattered. Of course, it's a partisan investigation. It was just Voss trying to keep Trump off his ass, but at least they were going to stay on budget or not. 844-967-2789. Next up, with the grievance, perhaps.
Yeah,
hey, Jess from Milwaukee. Hello. How you doing, man?
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good, Jess. You're on the radio, man. What's your thought or grievance?
I was just wondering how long you guys were on the radio, because I'm a new listener, and kind of the Democratic Party is kind of losing me a little bit, man. And so I wanted to, like, get revitalized, you know, so I put on you guys' show and listen to your radio. And I got to be honest, man, you know, every time I put it on, you guys just seem to be complaining about Trump all the time, you know, and even the soundbite that you're running, I think they call it bumper music or something. Like when you go to a radio, like a commercial break, you're running this soundbite from a year and a half ago. And it seems that my recollection of you guys, like, talking about Trump and Russia collusion back when he beat Hillary, like, that went on for like over 3 years that I couldn't put on the TV news without hearing.
We want to find the collusion.
Hello? So, Jess, you've known us since at least the Russian collusion as a topic. So you're not real, real new. Perhaps you dip your toe in the pool occasionally. I can tell you what. Joe Biden has been speaking a lot lately about gun control issues. Do you support our president in his stance? Should I be playing more Joe Biden saying, effectively, we must pass legislation now to take guns, to end assault weapons, to offer background checks? Would that be motivating to you, Jess, on behalf of the Democratic Party? Although I don't work for Joe or the Dems, but, you know, just for point of clarity, would that be motivating, Jess? Is that the sort of stuff you want to hear around here?
Well, I think there's more than just two subjects. Like, I brought up Trump and you brought up guns, but because you're asking about guns, like, for instance, you talked about the background checks. And they already tried to do those, bro, because we tried to get one, and they said, no way, you can't have one because of...
Are you talking about your personal circumstance, just so I'm clear, Jess?
No, it was a friend, but see, they do background checks, and he couldn't get a gun, bro. He couldn't get one because they didn't let him. So
some
there are background checks, bro.
Well, some people shouldn't have guns, Jess.
Right. And I honestly, like, I heard you guys talking the other day about, like, people being older than 18. And
yes, we have had that conversation recently.
Right. But, see, now I'm trying to have an open mind about this. And to me, I agree, like, with what you were saying on that. And I don't think a kid who's 18 is mature enough to do that, bro. And I think they should probably have to wait till they're 21.
But well, Jess, what
I don't think
what I'm hearing, and you and I agreed on that topic, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, we agree. We agree on that, bro. There shouldn't be no 18-year-olds, so I'm cool with that. But having a AR or whatever these fancy guns are called, like, it ain't the people who own those guns that are going around and shooting them. People are using handguns, and it's people in gangs and stuff like that. It ain't the guy in the suburb who wants to protect his family or something like that who's running around with ARs. Like, it's always a handgun, and it's always like some kid or somebody who's mentally disabled. So,
no, that's not really true, Jess. That's often how it's characterized by right-wing media, and it's often characterized by Republicans. I would say it's easy to say anyone that would cause carnage with a gun, oh, they must be crazy. Who in their right mind would do that? Right, Jess? And so it's easy to cast that. And perhaps there's something to be said about the mental stability of anyone that would find themselves in a position they would want to kill another. But there's also some studies about, you know, the cortex, the cerebral cortex of young men especially, and they make impulsive and bad decisions. And that's why we discourage drinking under the age of 21. And I think it would be reasonable to discourage gun ownership under the age of 21. And for a guy who's just a new listener, it seems like he's heard quite a bit from us. You know, and topically, I got to tell you, Jess, you know, sometimes we follow the topics of the day. And Donald Trump dominated the headlines for so many years, no doubt. And whenever possible, I'd like to lift up the Dems and help inspire you and other listeners. Although clearly I don't perceive my job to lift up the Democratic Party. I perceive my job is to tell the truth whenever possible, as I see it. My truth, but still the truth. Fancy, I know you had something.
I cringe at this mental health issue. Because a lot of times by calling it a mental health issue or by chalking it up to mental health, you get to other that person and you get to subtract that person from the greater society. The point is that this person, whether they were having issues mentally or not, is a product of the society that they lived in, whether they were actively a part or not. And so by calling it a mental health issue, you separate it and make it seem like this was one person.
Like it's a one-off.
That has nothing to do with
nothing
us.
Nothing to do with normal
even
society.
The person, especially if you look at the Uvalde situation, more things that come out about that community and how the dynamics of the community, that was clearly a product of the community itself and the pressures, the societal pressures and everything like that. And when you put it up to just mental health, you make it easier to other that person and separate it from the bigger picture involved.
You know, I think he just raised a couple topics. You talk about domestic violence. And I think domestic violence is significantly different than domestic terrorism, let's say.
For sure. It's responsible for 60%.
Yeah, what happened in Buffalo, mass shootings, that's terrorism. That's someone trying to go down in the history books. That's someone trying to make a point. And effectively, it's probably a suicide in almost every case. Someone doesn't just want to die. They want to take a bunch of others with them. Well, that's a different motivation than this newest, and I guess it doesn't qualify as a mass shooting because we've only got two dead and a shooter, so only three people dead. But what, this outside the church in Iowa? And of course, and I don't say that with any glee, but it was the ex-boyfriend. And he came back and he shot his former partner. And I think so often that is the case. And I think the fear of weapons of all sorts, and it's not just AR-15s, people kill themselves with handguns, but it leads an impulsive thought into your final thought. If you know what I'm saying, be it shooting at someone, be it shooting yourself. So it's not that there's not a place in society for weapons. And I'd be willing to have that argument. And I have been moved on that topic. I've tried to be open-minded on that one, Jess. My buddy Dominic's got his concealed carry. I mean, once upon a time, we went round and round on that. You know, you're not safe. I've seen him on the ranch. He's barely safe. Yet he has the legal right to carry, you know, under his armpit or whatever the case may be. Hide it. Conceal it, if you will. And I don't personally want to live in a society full of people with guns in their back pocket. But legally, I have been convinced you do have the right to do that. You do have the right to leave your domicile with a gun. I just choose not to do that. I got friends like Fancy Brian. He'll squish your ass. I hope. Fancy, if I need some squishing going on later, you're my guy.
I got a follow-up thought on that when we come back, if you want.
Well, let's come back to more Devil's Advocates. We'll come back.
This aggression will not stand, man.
You said it, man.
Oh. Oh. Look at that. Yeah.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, taking new callers, old callers, first time and many time callers at 844-967-2789. Our custom airing the grievances. Fancy, I thought you had one.
Yeah, and I don't want to wade too far into the gun thing. I think we've done that plenty of times this week.
I think we've talked guns.
But I had a thought today, and I was a bouncer in Chicago. I worked in bars and things like that. I actually literally bought crack in the middle of the night in uptown Chicago just to see if I could do it, and I didn't feel the fear that I sometimes do when I think about it. I work in Lefty Talk Radio. We're at a time where people of the righty persuasion generally have shoot-em-outs with people that they don't necessarily agree with, and there's a possibility. I had thought about it earlier when we first started, but it has actually become a thought that it may actually, you know, come my way sometime. And I've not felt as much fear as I did when I was buying crack on the street of Chicago. Do you know what I mean? Like, I felt properly fearful at the time.
How much of that crack are you smoking right now, man?
None, but my point
you're
is...
You're losing
that,
me in the analogy, but go
my,
on.
My point is that I think sometimes that I am in more danger from someone randomly now than I did when I was buying crack on the street of Chicago. That's what I'm saying. There are times when I think about it and I go, is there more danger now with talking about things that other people don't like? I don't know, but that's a possibility.
Well, I don't have an analogous crack buying night in Chicago, you know, or anywhere else. Crack, not my first choice. More of a weed guy. But
it was an experiment.
Yeah, sure. Sure it was. That's how it all, first one's free, and that's how they hook you. But I understand your point of view, or at least I think I do. 844-967-2789. We will take your grievances. I hate because, you know, I'm sitting here in front of a glass window. I've thought someone's going to throw a brick through the window someday. I've thought that, you know, and sometimes I think maybe I would have earned it, you know, on a few random days.
The idea is that you try to at least earn them.
Stir the pot, sure. Throw a brick through the window, well, it'd be vandalism and whatever. But, you know, it would be an act of some sort of righty defiance. But I got to be honest with you, Fancy Brian. I just truly believe in my heart of hearts. I'm out here living my life on the radio. I am. I mean, you know about my kids. If you listen with enough frequency, if you're like our pal in Milwaukee, Jess. And Jess, for a first-time listener, knew a hell of a lot about us. But here's my only point. If you listen every day, you know everything short of my Social Security number. Because part of doing 3 hours every day is... I'm living my life on the radio. I'm telling my story because so often we try to go and give you our perspective on whatever the news of the day might be. And I got to tell you, I've gone to some Trump rallies, a lot of them. And I've questioned Trump people. I've gone, you know, I told you about the night I went to Des Moines, the F Joe Biden night, the Let's Go Brandon night. I never feel fear of these righties or conservatives or Republicans. Another human being, if I have the chance to talk to you, I'll take my chances.
In that circumstance, I can totally see that. Like that's what I'm saying, is that it's not the one-on-one that scares me. It's the unknown person who has not met us one-on-one.
Well, to know us is to love us, Fancy Brian. 844-967-2789. You should all know us. But my point of view is this. The random stuff that could take us out in life. I mean, I didn't want to drop my kids off after the last school shooting. I paused. I told them I loved them on the curbside. And teenagers, they don't care. But I had to say it. I had to express it because the thought crossed my mind, what if something crazy happened? It's the last time I saw my kids. You know, it's always good to tell your kids you love them every opportunity you get. But I made sure that morning because it was important to me. And that makes me fearful. The randomness of a school shooting. Yeah, that makes me fearful. But I really don't worry about the average conservative. I mean, if I was their ex-wife, I'd worry about some of the people that might be listening to our shows. You know, I know certainly if you do the math, somewhere out there, there's a domestic abuser or whatever the case may be, because society has enough of them. The real fear is women from their partners. That's who should be fearful. Statistically, mathematically, fearful of the guns. Well, it's the man scorned. That's the real cause of many of the deaths. And that's the part that would be very scary to me is if I had some possessive ex that, you know, guy just couldn't move on or whatever the case may be. That is how people end up in real danger in life. But I got to tell you, man, if it's just an argument or even, you know, a fair fight, I'll take my chances. I will in life. I'd take my chances arguing my way out of damn near any fight. And, you know, I'm big enough. I'll take my chances.
And don't get me wrong. I don't live my life in fear. That's not what I'm saying. I don't like...
You look scared right now.
But my point is I haven't considered being fearful or being in fear as much as I did back then. Maybe it's a thing of being older and having a kid. And that at that time, I was just a single idiot. But my point is that, you know...
Buddy, big guys like you and I, we got... And I'm not wishing harm on either of us, but we got a greater chance of having a heart attack and dying someday, you know, walking up a large flight of stairs than somebody shooting us at random.
Ah, my own worst enemy.
The victims of most murders and gun violence are known to their assailants.
Absolutely.
They're not strangers. So don't be a jerk in life. If I'm going to die of gun violence, it's going to be Mrs. Crudy. It's going to take my ass out for being a jerk.
You don't have to try so hard.
What, to be a jerk or not to get shot?
I don't know what I'm arguing for or against now. I'm just going to leave it there.
Let's take Lynn quickly from the car before the hour rolls. Lynn, welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, one, I'm on my way to Waukesha from Madison to see you guys tonight. But I am tired of seeing the dead deer and carcasses along the way. Along I-94 in various states of decay, I have counted 12 between Madison, here's another one that's really disgusting, and Johnson Creek. So,
Lynn, why did Scott prediction. Walker, under the Walker administration, like, you know, we got a budget crisis, Act 10, and oh yeah, we're going to stop cleaning up the bloated carcasses from the side of the roads. Why did we hoist that back on the counties?
Well, that's a good question. anyway, yeah, state budget isn't big enough to handle that.
You know, we're running surpluses, Lynn. They should pick up the poor Bambis on the side of the road. Fancy Brian, I had a big doe and a fawn run right past me in my front yard. In Milton the other day, I was a little startled. I was on the phone. I was actually trying to pay a bill. Do you want to hear my social security number? I told you if you stuck around long enough. More devils. Hour two of the happy hour is next.
The biggest fear that I and I think a lot of our supporters have is the outside money.
I can taste it.